Hey guys, this is Chris and Carly, and we are here today to talk about a philosophy that we adopt here at Teen Life called Solution Focus, and it really informs how we work with teenagers. Now, just so you know, the purpose of these times together are really to talk about how we can help the helpers. Anyone who helps a teenager, we want to help them. So that's coaches, mm-hmm. that's teachers, parents, pastors, counselors, anyone who is in a helping role. We hope this helps you out. And so we're here to talk about kind of our philosophy. So before we really get into that, let's talk about kind of why we feel like it's important to talk about our philosophy in contrast to maybe how other people work with teenagers.
Right. I think we work with teens a lot. We work with a lot of schools and youth ministers and parents. And a lot of times you hear people complain about teenagers. And teenagers do have a lot that is not perfect. They're still trying to figure a lot out. But the way that Solution Focus comes at it and the way that Teen Life comes at it is very much from the perspective of teenagers have strengths.
That's right.
And we want to give that as a reminder and kind of assume the best about teenagers instead of always assuming the worst.
And I think a good place to center yourself on that is that when you assume something about a person to start with, that tends to be what you believe.
Right.
And that kind of carries through with your interactions and the outcomes. And with teenagers, we've just done some research and just kind of trying to see what's out there to help teenagers. And so much of it starts with deficits. It starts with they're not capable of making their best decisions, that they're not, they don't have the skill set. They don't have the internal resources to be able to really make good decisions, to figure out the solutions to their challenges. And when we talk to teenagers in our support groups, that kind of bears out, because when you ask a teenager, you know, tell me about some of your most important adult relationships, there really aren't many.
Right.
Because I think a lot of them assume that the adults in their life don't really think they have what it takes.
Mm-hmm. So as the master in the room, why don't you give us a brief rundown of what is Solution Focus?
So, and I always, I get a little bit nervous going into this because I don't want to get too into the weeds, because like any kind of philosophy can get really technical. And so Carly's going to be my quality control. If I'm getting too deep into it, she's going to tell me to back off. But Solution Focus, in the context that we use it, is based upon a counseling theory called Brief Solution Focus Therapy. And it is this idea that you can do a lot of work in a small amount of time. And so in the counseling world, what they're trying to do is if a client is in therapy, they're really trying not to prolong their time together. They're really trying to figure out what is true and present now and what could be different. And so those are two of the big tenets behind Solution Focused. Is we're not really trying to pay a whole lot of attention to the past, because for our purposes, it's just not that important. Mm-hmm. The only reason that the past is important when you're talking to someone with this model is to inform the future,
right.
Really, to look back and think about past successes, past achievements, and try to identify what was going on during that time, and then take it to the present, to how are you feeling now, how are things going now, where would you rate yourself now, to what could be different or better. In order to do that, though, you have to assume that your client or your teenager you're working with actually has the ability and has some kind of strength that they bring to the table. So it starts from a very positive place, mm-hmm. A very affirming, a very empowering place that, and I don't know, in times of your life where you really felt lost or not sure, you don't really feel like you have a lot at all to
right.
bring to the table. But someone coming in and actually reminding you the strengths that you do have, just that reminder can mm-hmm. be really, really empowering.
Right. And I think we find so many teenagers who come in and, like you said, don't have an adult who's ever done that to them,
mm-hmm.
Especially if they're not churched.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a youth minister, or they've never sat in a small group, or some sort of like mentor relationship where someone has said, here are the good things I see in you.
Mm-hmm.
And so having that in a teen life group is huge.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you're not running a teen life group, a reminder that reminding teenagers, you have what it takes. You have strengths. You have what you need to be able to move forward in the future is huge.
Right. And I think the where this gets to be really exciting for me when I talk to adults is it kind of lets you off the hook as an adult, because we feel the need, and I know as a parent, I feel the need to fix, correct, be really directive, tell my kid what to do, tell a teenager what to do, because obviously I'm the wise one in the room, right? And so I feel like I've got something to say. Mm-hmm. And if you talk to most teenagers, they feel like that's all that they have, or adults telling them what to do
right.
all the time. And so when we train our volunteers at Teen Life, we really, that's one of the big things that we try to hammer is you don't have to have advice. Matter of fact, we would recommend that you don't have advice. But you, in order to do that, you have to start from that place of strength, right? Mm-hmm. You have to assume, okay, they're going to figure this out. And my role here is to help them figure this out. I'm not going to come in and fix it. I'm not going to come in and change it for them or make the playing field level. Mm-hmm. I'm going to actually ask the right questions. And so where this is really empowering as an adult is, especially if you're in a school-based role where you're working with lots of different students that are from different backgrounds, you don't have to relate.
Right.
You don't have to feel this burden to have the answers for a kid that you don't really understand their context. Mm. And the truth is, that's not your role, and it's not your business, really. It's really more, what can I do to be able to ask those right questions, speak into that child's life, where I don't have to fix it all for them.
Right, and we'll get into what those questions are and some of the practical things, but just kind of to break it down, solution focus is really focusing on the future.
Mm-hmm.
And not even what can you do to have the perfect life or what can you do to fix everything tomorrow. Where we really thrive is what small thing can you do to help tomorrow?
Right, right. So, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but, you know, to on a scale of 1 to 10, how you move from a 2 to a 3.
Right.
And not a 2 to a 10. We want to keep these things realistic. And honestly, we might be feeling like we're at a 2, but sometimes whenever you identify how you're feeling, that can make you feel just a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that present moment is. And that's where we'll talk about this some as we move forward as well, just that mindfulness of like, how am I actually feeling right now? There's so many that don't really know how they're feeling in any present moment, but just to stop for a second and to assess, okay, where are we on this? Mm-hmm. Let's center ourselves. And you cannot think about the future until you center yourself now of how things are going now.
Right.
And so that's a huge part of what's going on now and what can be better. And when we don't dwell on the past and dwell on past mistakes and past failures, that really empowers you to look forward for sure.
Hey everyone, I just wanted to jump in and interrupt us real quick to talk about something exciting that Teen Life is starting this month. So now, in addition to our podcast, we're also doing what we're calling the Impact Group on Facebook. And this is for Impact members, so anyone who gives $5 or more monthly can be part of our Impact Group. All you do is you go to teenlife.ngo/impact, I-M-P-A-C-T, in case you're not sure how to spell that. And we are going to have guests on there. That is a private Facebook group that only people who are monthly givers or part of organizations who give to us will be part of. And Chris, why don't you tell us some of the guests and exciting topics that we can look forward to?
So one of the things that we are so excited about with Teen Life is we are connected with a large network of mental health professionals, people who serve teenagers professionally with mental health services, who are highly researched, highly respected in their fields, have very specific fields of expertise that relate specifically to issues that teenagers deal with. And we're going to bring in an expert every single month. We're going to call them our expert in residence, and they're going to come with some kind of topic that they have a specific passion for, specific proclivity to, and we'll record a video, create content, and start discussions. And all these discussions will be available for people to ask questions of the expert and to be able to interact with each other. So we're really, really excited about that.
Right. So as we're talking about solution focused and how we believe the best in teenagers, if you're looking for a group to be part of that also believes those same things, this is for you. So jump on, join the discussion, get more content like what we're producing on the podcast, hear from our experts, ask questions of our experts or Teen Life. This is a perfect place to do it. So once again, go to teenlife.ngo/impact.
All right, Carly, so we talked a little bit about solution focused, and we want to talk about some practicality of this and what does it look like to be intentional with this strength-based approach. And one of the tools that you'll see kind of woven through the solution focused mentality is scaling. And this is such a useful tool because you can be really creative with it. And it gives the two things that we talked about before. It establishes where you are now, and then it talks about what you could do to move that forward. What does the future look like if you want things to be different? And so we do this several ways. One of the ways that is so handy, I'm going to let Carly explain this one because this is kind of her little brainchild, this idea of Fist to Five.
Right. So we take Fist to Five, and we use this in our curriculum, especially with middle schoolers. But I've explained it to adults who are like, I use this at work with my coworkers. But basically you ask a group on a scale of fists to five, like, how are you doing this week? How are you feeling today? Where fist is not great, maybe worst day ever. Five is I'm doing awesome. Nothing could be better. And you ask the group to hold up a number. So maybe the number is three. Maybe another person is two. Maybe someone's four or five. And then you can kind of easily gauge what's going on in a group or even with an individual. And then you can ask follow-up questions on that as well of what makes it a three today? What could you do to be a four tomorrow? What was it yesterday?
Right.
Did you improve yesterday from yesterday? And what does that look like as well?
Well, I love about Fist to Five because I know personally, if someone's trying to talk to me and I'm not interested in talking, it can be a little bit awkward. And if you have a teenager who doesn't really want to talk, they can answer without talking. So they can just make a number and they've answered at that point. And so that kind of gives you an in where you can get some kind of insight as to how they're feeling about any situation. You can use scaling to kind of compare how did you, if it's not pissed to five, you know, how are you feeling today compared to yesterday? Or how do you feel about this compared to a different time? You know, you can do it on a piece of paper if you want to. You can have them build something. I mean, there's a thousand different ways you can scale. You just create the scale and help them determine how they're feeling about any given situation. But scaling is a really easy tool. If you just want to say, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling about this? Because 1 to 10 scales are pretty standard, even for a teenager with testing. I mean, they just know a 1 to 10. Just to make sure that you're on the same page about what a one means and a 10 means, right?
Right. So. And that's what it gives context because my 10 and Chris's 10 might look very different. But when you can give context to how are you feeling today for that student, it does not have to be my 5 or my 10, but then how do you want to feel tomorrow? It gives them a starting place to know here's where I am today. Here's something small I can do to make tomorrow better. Or yesterday I was at a 4, today I'm at a 5, and this is what happened,
right?
To make that come up. And so it just gives context to the conversation. It can help them see you were low and now you're high, or at one point you had a higher number and now you're low and what changed and what can we do to get that number back up.
Right. And the secret sauce to make the scaling thing work is the questions that you ask with the scale, because the scale is kind of useless if you're not asking good questions with it. And one of the questions we want to avoid, maybe the way you start a question is kind of the dirty word why. And you're gonna find as you try to remove this word from your vocabulary in the context of questions is it's stubborn. It sticks around. But the word why when you start a question is we go to it so quickly because it's easy, because it's inquisitive. It's a quick way to get the information that you're wanting. But what ends up happening is when I say, hey, Carly, why did you do that? Even just saying that sounds pretty accusatory, right? And that puts the person you're questioning on the offensive or the defensive a little bit, like, so what's with the question? And you're not really getting the results that you want.
Right, because when you ask, why did you do that? Why is that happening? Why don't you feel good today? All those questions, it puts teenagers on the defensive mm-hmm. of you're accusing me of something, you think I did something wrong. It also, we talk about this a lot, teenagers' brains aren't fully formed yet. Mm-hmm. And so when you ask, why did you do that? The answer might be, I don't know. And they legitimately don't know. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to frustrate yourself when they say, I don't know. And you're going to frustrate them because they're going, I have no idea.
Right.
I just did it.
Right. Right. So what we want to do is replace that why with some other words. So we have the words
what, how, even a when question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When was life better?
Yeah. Yeah. When was life better? How did that make you feel? Mm-hmm. How are you doing today? How are things going?
What happened to get you to this place instead mm-hmm. of why is today bad?
Right. Okay. And those are the starting with those three words, it prolongs the conversation a little bit. It takes it and you might not get an immediate answer because it might surprise them a little bit because it's a question that actually makes you think a little bit mm. when it's like how were you feeling when this happened? Well, that's a little bit different than why do you feel that way? And when I say why do you feel that way, it's like Carla said, I don't know, or just a quick deflection. But when you ask it with that how or what or when, then you're forced to take a second. And then you as the one asked the question need to be prepared to be patient with them answering that question because it might take a second for them to answer that. But you're going to get a much more thoughtful response. You're going to get some appreciation that maybe, you know, this particular adult is actually interested in what I have to say.
Right. Well, and one thing when we talk about solution-focused questions, asking questions that get them to think ahead on what they could do better, little things. But sometimes if a teenager doesn't know, we even go to the bigger questions. One of them we call the miracle question, which is if you woke up tomorrow and everything was fixed, everything was better, what's different? Mm-hmm. What's the first thing you notice? And so if you have a teenager or a child who's struggling and you can't get a clear answer from them, maybe try starting there mm-hmm. with remove them a little bit from their situation, get them to think big and dream big. And then you can talk about, because honestly, sometimes the answer is small. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the answer is I got more sleep mm-hmm. or I did better on a test or this person talked to me and was nice to me. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily a huge, I won the lottery
right.
answer. A lot of times it's something small and then you can get them to think about, well, what can we do to make that a reality?
And also any questions you can ask is going to tease out more information is always really, really helpful. Something as simple as tell me more
right.
about that. Oftentimes there is more that they want to say, and maybe they had just not been invited to say those things. So tell me more about that. And if they don't have anything else to say, they'll tell you, and that's fine. Or something as simple as what else?
Right, and try to avoid asking those yes or no questions. Mm-hmm. Was today okay? Mm-hmm. Yes. That's the end.
Yep.
What was the best part about today? That's a totally different question. And even better than why was today good? They might be like, oh, I don't know. But mm-hmm. if you ask a clear, what was the best part about today? What was hard today? You're going to get more information from your teenager. And then you can continue to listen to what they're saying and ask follow-up questions that show that you're listening, that show that you care, that you're engaged. And that's what teenagers want as well.
And you'll hear us say this a lot here at Teen Life, but we really do believe that when we lead with curiosity, that's when we really get insight. When we're not trying to fix, we're not trying to come up with a certain conclusion. When we ask these open-ended, solution-focused questions with curiosity, it tells the students that we work with, that we love, that we serve, that we are in this with them, and that we believe that they have what it takes to actually solve the problems that they have, the problems that they're facing, that we aren't here to fix it for them, that when they solve these problems for themselves, they're more empowered and they actually can take on the next bigger challenge, that they know that they can do it. And all you did was you asked good questions and you believe something differently about them than the people around them typically have. So just know that when you lead with curiosity, you lead with, you assume strength, and you ask these open-ended questions, you're going to be amazed how these relationships start to open up.